Ready?
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
You all know exactly who I am.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, you got it right. Hour number two is me. Technotronic.
Would have never been able to name who made this song, but yeah, I know this song.
You didn't know it was Technotronic?
Did not know. Not going to lie.
I'll be honest. I'm going to get in trouble for this probably. Still no idea if that's a man or a woman.
Look at the video. Yeah, you can't tell because it's like a dude and a...
I think it's a female singing.
You sure?
You've made me question it.
Yeah, I think it's a female too. But you're right.
Are you sure?
No, but it's...
That's what I'm saying.
It's super confusing for sure.
I'm about... Okay, no, I'm not going to say that because you'll save that as a drop. I feel like about 60-40. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm 60% sure it's a female, but there's 40% of me that's like, maybe it's a dude.
That sounds like a girl right there.
But that's not her. It's the one rapping.
I can kind of see the argument.
Singing is... Yeah.
But yeah, I think she's a female. I'm with Joel. I think she's a female.
I don't know. You thought that about
female.
RuPaul when we were
female.
Picking top five chicks you'd sleep with. You had RuPaul top three, so...
No, I did not.
I don't know what to tell you.
That's a negative.
And Madea.
Wow, you're covering the gamut, aren't you?
I love Madea. I mean,
let it be known. Are... Nick was like, boy, that Madea. I'd get off into that. You know you would.
Is that Tyler Perry's sister?
That reminds me of that Martin episode when they're all talking. And he's like, boy, I think it's Stan. It's like, oh, that RuPaul.
Is it?
I don't remember that
episode.
That's one tree I'd like to climb.
What?
And then Martin's like, you'd have to get around that branch. Great line.
That's
great
awesome.
Scene. Okay, before we go to Nick's call, I have the GIF downloaded because it wouldn't do it right. Connor tweeted me the found footage of Joel fighting Clutch.
Outstanding.
I am tweeting that now.
Let me see this.
It is outstanding.
I'm tweeting it now. And I can confirm that Joel lost the fight.
Not in real life. You can confirm your video because I look, Barry showed me and I go, is that really my head? Pretty solid.
So here, if you want to, at Barry is funny, if you want the found footage of Joel and Clutch fighting.
Mark Villalobos, great pull, by the way. Unsung movie, Uncle Buck.
Not bad.
John Candy. Love that movie.
Yeah,
a good one. John Candy was like the '80s Chris Farley.
He had a run there.
Yeah, because he had.
Are you looking at the fight video?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. That gif is hilarious.
I thought you lost, but I wasn't sure, and now it's been confirmed. I felt like you lost because I felt like yesterday, if you would have like whooped his ass, you would have been like, I whooped his ass. And I know you were trying to take the high road, but you shouldn't. You should just be like, yeah, I kicked his ass.
I know what you wanted me to do, but to me, it's like...
You should just come out and just say you kicked his ass.
Here's the thing.
Because he's out there telling people, spreading false news
in my life.
Yeah.
But I've never felt like I had to brag about him.
Why?
Because you ended it.
But
you
know
solved what you had to solve. So, look, and we can have different opinions on this. But 25 years later, if you're still hanging your hat on the fact that at one point we had a disagreement and that it makes you feel better to try and tell people
I'm not going to be that guy. When you're not relevant, it's what you do.
That's right. And that's why when you're LeVar Bear and you're looking stay fuzzy, you do what you got to do.
But the way to squash it is be like, yeah, we fought and I whipped your ass, so there's nothing else to talk about.
But again... Okay, here's the thing, too. In an office setting, in an office, and this is a little different than other offices, but in an office setting as you've been in the past, no one whips anybody's ass because it's an office, or you both would be fired. So it's like, you know, again, I've already said too much that I said I wasn't going to do.
So maybe you didn't get your butt whipped, but you just lost the fight.
No, Nick, and you can try and prod it all you want, but no. But keep going. Keep going. Nick's it's like, cool. Nick's like, keep going.
I'm just curious. I'm just,
you know. I'm glad you are. I addressed it yesterday. And like I said, LeVar Bear can have his fun in the sun. And, you know, the funny thing was his brother and I, his brother even called me after work yesterday laughing. So I was like, yeah, it's just, it's stupid. He's like, everybody tried to portray it like you guys didn't talk. We talked for 25 years.
After the fight?
Yeah, we have been friendly and like hung out and done things ever since. That was 25 years ago. So it was dumb. It's like everybody thinks it's like the Bloods versus the Crips. And once it happened, we didn't talk again. We hated each other. It never happened.
I do agree with Barry, though. If you did kick his ass, you'd be like, man, I uppercutted him.
And you know what, Nick? I commend you for agreeing with Barry. It's shocking to me, but I'm happy for you. But
it's
not great.
I mean, I agree with both of you guys at times. It just depends on the dynamic.
By the way, you're catching heat, bro. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was the
90s. Yeah, I saw that. I'm getting a lot of...
Dumbass.
Not all of it.
It was the 90s?
Yeah.
No, I think it was the late 80s.
That's so stupid.
The first one was 90s as well?
It's what they're saying. To what everyone on the text is saying, and someone has blasphemy, how did no one pick Howard the Duck? I don't even remember Howard the Duck.
I remember Howard the Duck.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was like everybody was a real person.
The first
except
one was 1990, so yeah.
Crocodile Dundee, Goonies, yeah, none of these are doing it for me, y'all. Then I feel like we've done this before,
Crocodile
too.
Dundee was big.
Chance said, is the 80s considered the golden era for comedy films?
Well, you had what's-his-name that just recently passed away that had 16 candles, had...
Yep.
You know, he had the Breakfast Club. He had a lot.
Mel Brooks was back then. Monty Python, I think, was late 70s, early 80s as well. Or no, maybe it was mid 80s. But yeah, that was, I mean, there was a lot. There was a lot.
What was
but I don't know. I think every era, it's tough. I couldn't pick. I couldn't pick.
Don't let me. Mm-hmm. John Hughes. John Hughes, who had a run of a lot of those kind of movies. The kind of teenage pop culture movies that everybody loved. 16 Candles, Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Made Molly Ringwald a lot of money.
Did you ever think Molly Ringwald was hot, by the way?
No.
You didn't? Nick, do you even know who that is?
Nick?
No, I do not. Sorry, I thought my mic was on. No.
Okay.
Molly Ringwald was Julia Morales in a different time period.
You think? I think Julia Morales is hotter than Molly Ringwald.
Which is, you know, okay. Now,
I do. And I don't like redheads. Like, it's not my thing.
I don't want to judge.
Okay.
But I saw, I think Lamont was in the middle of it with a bunch of people, like last week. The amount of people, and he was amazed by it, but the amount of people on social media that think she is just smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot out there.
There is. Someone said, Nick, don't be a douche. It's GIF, not JIF.
Haven't we been through that?
We have.
That's fine.
That's actually, Texter, that's not true.
GIF or JIF, if you got either one of them, of Pac-Man Joel and Clutch fighting, please send them. At Pac-Man Joel, at the producer Nick, at Barry's Funny.
It's been pronounced incorrectly forever. It's actually JIF, but it sounds stupid to me to say JIF because I've said GIF for so long. But the inventor of the image format actually came out and said it was intended to be pronounced GIF. So
I remember you saying
don't
that
be nasty
about
to
a
Nick.
Week ago.
Yeah, don't be nasty to Nick and listen to the show more, and you would have been educated on that.
We drop
nuggets of wisdom all day long. That's what we're known for.
By the
way,
give our listeners credit too, because they're very smart and coming back when we need things. Yo Adrian throws in The Last Dragon. Boy, I thought Vanity was hot. I didn't care about the rest of the movie, but if Vanity was in it, look out.
Barry, are you Jewish? Nope. We covered that. Did you use your broken finger to impress the girls? Matt and Katie, that's inappropriate.
I actually can't say that I didn't think about it when you put your finger up and started making a lot of movements.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was like, well, Barry might have been the Dr. Love candidate after that.
It's so ugly, though. Look how it just takes a turn there.
You haven't about seen Sean's, though.
Second knuckle.
You haven't seen Sean Salisbury's finger, though. But,
well, how about this? On that,
and it still is fully functional.
Okay,
like,
but
it's
on that same
a lot
topic
of times when that happens, you can't use it. I can still do the come here motion. I know what's up.
One of my guys that I play basketball with on Saturdays, mm-hmm. we were getting ready to leave the gym last Saturday, and he goes, man, it's hard for me sometimes with my hand. I didn't notice anything. So I go, what are you talking about? He puts his hand up to me, and his pinky finger and the second finger are like almost, they're like a claw.
Bent.
They're bent down. And I go, do they stay that way? And he goes, yeah, but I can get them fixed and they'll last for a amount of time. And then I go, well, how'd you do it? And he goes, oh, I got mad underneath the basket one day and it looked like there was a pad on the wall, but it was just carpet over cinder block. I go, I don't feel sorry for you anymore. No, that was just a stupid move on your part.
Stupid.
And he says he gets them injected. He gets it in the two knuckles injected. And then the next day he goes back and they like grind out the scar tissue. And for like a year, they're good. And then they eventually go back again.
That's crazy.
Ugh.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
All texting, no tweeting said Die Hard. And then, yeah, I forgot about Spaceballs, whoever texted that. Spaceballs was really good.
Was that Mel
good.
Brooks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That era, like, oh,
my Spaceballs. Dad was a huge Mel Brooks guy.
Comb the Desert. Oh, right. That's so good.
Nick, we see ya. You know, we know you got to get a little on this Full Metal Jacket, like Barry said in the opening scene. So, Nick, coming back, we'll get to you and a whole lot more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Beulah Ballbricker's been mentioned, by the way. Porky's, a classic.
Yeah, one of the first times I've seen nudity. One of the first times I saw breasts.
Booby movie.
The actual first time was Stripes, but that was early on in my viewing history, I guess. That's the right word.
That's the one we did way back in the day.
What?
That was the one we did the first booby movie you saw.
Yes. That's where that is correct. That's where that is correct.
Yeah.
A couple of texts. Ernest goes to camp. Stop it. And everyone keeps reminding me about like Blazing Saddles, which I thought Blazing Saddles was like 79. But
obviously one of the campfire scene is what everybody goes to there.
Love Blazing Saddles. Release date, 1974. So there you go. You can't use Blazing Saddles, but a classic. But yeah, like all the Mel Brooks movies, Spaceballs and all that was outstanding. And then there's this. I have video of Joel fighting a Girl Scout over some cookies. He's winning, but another Girl Scout comes along and they overpower him. Now, is that true? Or did you win?
You guys keep having your fun.
I'm just reading texts,
Barry,
Joel.
You've driven the bus for 2 days now, and so it's
what
fine.
What are you talking about? The people, do you realize that that was the first question right out of the chute on the text line was about your fight with Clutch? We can't make it go away.
So we had to.
It's here.
We had to. So the first question on the text line, we'll get something completely inappropriate tomorrow, and we'll just say, well, we got to address it.
Yeah, it's usually something about me, like being black or Jewish or whatever, and we address it. By the way, somebody said my friend feeds his 12-year-old Great Dane cannabis oil to help his hip. He's got a hip arthritis in his hip. I'm surprised you've never heard of this with you and the wife having the dogs and everything. This isn't anything you guys have
not
ever done.
Not cannabis, but I can tell you this. And Kevin McHale's wife, Lynn, is huge on all the natural remedies and things.
Uh-huh.
And she even would get like she would even like volunteer stuff for players, from oils to things that were supposed to be like natural healing things. But she literally, and I'll never forget this, but my dog that had cancer, she literally, I would bring the dog over to their apartment and she would do treatments that they thought could have an effect on the dog and make him live and live longer, beat cancer. So
yeah.
Some, I mean, whether they, you know, I don't know how many people believe in it or not, but
did it help?
I mean, the cancer did come back eventually, and it came back probably quicker than I would have liked. But at the same time, you just don't forget the fact that someone went out of their way to do something.
Right,
like that.
Right. So she was trying it. Yeah. I had no idea that stuff existed for pets. That's kind of crazy.
Like Whole Foods,
you but how
think
do you
it's
get,
just natural foods. Like, so I went to Whole Foods with her, uh-huh. And like literally, there's a whole section of different oils and minerals. And
I'm just, how do you get the cat to be still enough to take the hit out of the bong? That's what the I don't know how I'm going to do that.
That's a challenge.
It is.
Plus, and the then, smoke's going to freak him out.
And then they bogart it a lot of times. If it was my cat, I'm like, bro, you got to pass it. Like, you can't just be hogging it all.
You want to get your boy in here who wants to talk Full Metal Jacket. Nick, thanks for waiting. We appreciate it in the land of sugar. What's up?
All right. So two things. So a circumcision thing is called a bris.
A what?
A circumcision party is called a bris, just for a little side note. All right, so
a bris? Like
when I said that when I went to the synagogue. It's called a
bris.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. So Full Metal Jacket, right?
Yep.
It is Marine boot camp, and I am so sorry to hear you say drill sergeants because it's drill instructors. That hurts my soul.
All right. Well, I was never in the military, so you know.
Sorry.
No idea. You're lucky I got drill in there. I was just going to say the guy that screams a lot. The PE instructor would have been way worse, so I did the best I could.
So, the movie's set in 1967, I think. Uh-huh. And would you believe that boot camp is still the same?
Is it really? It's a lot like that?
It is the exact same, except for there's not as much beating.
Now, Nick, I take it you served or are serving?
I served.
Okay. What branch? Marines?
Marine Corps.
Okay. Yes, first of all, thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Much appreciated.
Hoorah.
So when you say it's a lot like that, you're saying like the screaming and the racist, in your face stuff, they still do that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow. That kind of surprises me in this day. And I mean, you know, with the pussification of America, it seems like that wouldn't be going on anymore.
Well, it really doesn't happen in the Army and the Air Force and like the Navy, but the Marine Corps is still the exact same. It's just part of the tradition.
I'm guessing in the Coast Guard, it's not like that either.
Oh, the Coast Guard, they
just have bris.
You can't even
yell
at them. I mean, it's sad.
Yeah. Now, have you ever been a part of either participating or on the end of a soap party?
Oh, plenty of times.
Really? Now, for those that don't know, explain what a soap party is if they've never seen. Because Joel's looking at me, he's got the gay face right now.
Because he thinks a soap party is PG kind of.
Yeah, it's not where everyone's soaping each other up in the shower.
Okay, so
if you've not seen the movie, this happened to Private Pyle, right?
Sure. Yes. So if like you have somebody who is screwing up and you can't correct them, and they just keep on doing the same stupid crap over and over again. You grab a long sock and a bar of soap. You put the bar of soap in the sock, and then everybody takes a turn with at least one whack and whacks him in the middle of the night while he's sleeping.
While they're sleeping. Now, did y'all you take a sheet and throw it over him to hold him down so they can't get up? Is that part of it? So they can't defend themselves and they got to take it?
Oh, you can. Okay. It's not. I mean, that's kind of optional.
And right.
Sometimes your drill instructors or your higher ups will actually kind of condone it, which, I mean, you know.
Now, Nick, did you ever have a Private Pyle type person in your boot camp?
Yes,
you did.
He was my rack mate, so he was he was on the top bunk. I was on the bottom bunk, and I got slayed because of him.
Did he keep a jelly donut in his footlocker?
No, he actually stole peanut butter from the chow hall.
What? Is that why he got a soap party?
That was one of the reasons.
Nick, man, thanks again for your service. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. I'm sorry I said, what did I call him? Drill sergeant? I called him a drill instructor. I don't know what the hell I said. Yep. PE coach? I have no idea.
Don't go back.
No?
No.
Making more people angry?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I didn't serve. How would I know the vernacular?
Fair. It's an honest
mistake. I'm not Jewish. I didn't know it was called a bris. You know? Oh, this is a good song, Nick. About time we finally got a good song on this show.
It's Joel's.
Oh, it's Joel's. Good job, Joel.
Thank you.
It's about time. Like, the whole first hour was terrible. Like, I don't know. I'm surprised if anyone is still listening after the songs that Nick chose in hour one. Did you throw darts? I mean, honestly, did you just throw darts at a list of 80 songs?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
It was just pretty bad.
Googled it and just...
How would you work out to any of those songs you picked? Are you working out how you're going
to
kill yourself?
Songs. I was born in the 80s. I wouldn't work out to those songs.
But that was the list.
You picked the
theme. Yeah.
Yeah, because we had to submit something. We were going to ask everybody on Twitter yesterday, but you said no.
It was too late. You at 3:55, Joel goes, should we get the listeners involved? Well, it's a little late now.
And I said on Twitter where we could pick one on Twitter that night.
Y'all don't argue with me. It was a horrible first hour, and this is a good song. I'll do my best. I'll
get
make
the
my
soap and a sock, Nick.
I'm going to make my 3 o'clock list and save this show.
We're going to replay the music from the first hour and the third hour. That's what we're going to do.
Because there was a deadline.
Oh, you bastard. No, there's not. The deadline is 3 o'clock when my hour's here. All right, guys. I want to tell you about one of my favorite places to eat in the city of Houston. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. It's located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. And you need to go check this place out. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. And I promise you're going to love this place. And I'll be honest, I had Indian food one time, didn't like it, went out there. Absolutely loved the Indian food. All the food out there is amazing. I think you're going to love it too. Most of my friends that have gone, that I've sent, have come back and said that they really enjoyed it. Our listeners that are hearing this message and are going, are giving me feedback, telling me how much they like it. So why haven't you tried it yet? If you haven't, you need to get down to 1901 Taft and check out Cowboys and Indians. They're known, first of all, they're known for having the best butter chicken in Houston. So start there. Start on the Indian side. Try that best butter chicken in Houston. You can have the quesadillas made with naan bread. They also have a Himalayan heat burger that I personally feel like needs to be on a must-eat list of burgers in Houston. So go check that out. Wings, sliders. If you don't want chicken curry, they've got chicken fried steak. They've got it all, man. You need to check it. They even have salads if you just want to go out there, hang out. Maybe sip a drink at their full-service bar, get a salad, something light. Do that as well. It's all there for you. All the Indian food is authentic, made from family recipes from Haas and crew over there, so check it out. And if you don't want to get off the couch, if you just want to stay home and have some food delivered to you, you can have Cowboys and Indians brought right to your doorstep via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. Again, they're located at 1901 Taft. Go by, check it out. Look on Facebook at CNI713. You can just click on the search bar, type in CNI713 for more information. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. I promise you there's nothing like it. I promise you you're going to love it. And when you go out there, tell Haas and Imran Barry said hello.
Broke my last glass jar. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects at the halfway point as we continue to trudge through the rain and bring sunshine and rainbows to your day. Or at least sunshine. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I put it on the list because through the years there have been some tearful and emotional ways that people sign off the air for the last time in broadcasting.
I can't wait till my time to do that.
Nick will be on the button.
The dump button.
Yes.
I just want to say you can all eat bleep, 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 bleep.
I should have never
bleep,
been fired.
Bleep.
Yeah. Kiss my...
Yep.
To be like Morse code. As a matter of fact, I think there's been a couple in this town where people went off on their last day and on the way out.
Really?
In news.
We should play that.
We'd have to look at that. I'd have to, I'm sure the listeners out there can tell us who, there's a couple of them though, where on their last day of work on TV, they sprayed some bullets on the way out. Didn't let them know they were quitting until they got on the air that day and just went nuts.
Mm-mm-mm.
So anyway, there was a young gentleman in Buffalo, New York, that was the sports reporter on Eyewitness News. And evidently, either his contract wasn't being renewed or he just wasn't going to be back. And in his last sports cast, he decided to get a little emotional when he signed off. And it sounded like this.
It is my last day here at 7ABC. It has been an absolute blast. And I have a few words that I want to say before I go. If I cry, it's because I inherited that from my mom. My dad won't admit to any emotion whatsoever. He's kind of a big deal, by the way. So I leave you with this. If you have a dream, go chase it. Nobody is going to believe in your dream like you believe in it, but it doesn't mean it's not worth pursuing. I chased my dream, and I ended up here in Buffalo.
That's not me laughing, by the way.
The guy taping this is
laughing. I fell in love with this place 3 years ago. When I got here.
You fell in love with Buffalo?
Buffalo has everything I could have ever asked for in a place. Great sports, great food, and even better people. Why Buffalo gets a bad rap, I have no idea. But if people knew and saw the city as I did, they would make this place home. proud to say my daughter is a Buffalonian. Every night she asks me about hockey. And when the next Sabres game is. So what's next? To be honest, I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. The city of good neighbors, I cannot thank you enough for your kindness, your trust, and love over the last 3 years. I'll go, but no, I'll be thinking of you, Western New York, every step of the way. So long, farewell. All my bags are packed, and unfortunately I have to go. I hope you had the time of your life. I did. Bye, bye, bye.
What? Like, he covered the gamut of cliches, NSYNC. I mean, was it Third Eye Blind? I mean, and he's literally crying throughout. And I thought the first time I watched it that the anchors were laughing at him. But it was actually,
that's what I thought.
It was actually the guy, Nick made the point, it was the guy taping it off of his DVR that was laughing at just how corny some of it was.
They were certainly laughing. Like, the other anchors were probably laughing at him after the fact, probably not on the air.
Right. And
oh,
you never know.
God.
It's a tough business. But yeah, I was thinking, this rivals Boom Goes the Dynamite for, like, worst sportscaster moment of all time. And if you don't remember it, and we do have a clip of it, there was maybe the worst sports anchor in the history of TV in Indianapolis that had a really tough moment trying to do some highlights one night, and it sounded a little something like this.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and Boom Goes the Dynamite.
My favorite is passes it to the man. What man? What? That's just
Miller. He was referring to Miller.
I know, but just passes it to the man.
But even more so
than
that,
Boom Goes the Dynamite.
And Boom Goes the Dynamite.
When you watch it with the video, he's 5 seconds behind in most of the highlights. So Miller's already hit the shot, and the ball's going down court. They're showing another highlight, and he's like, and Miller was on the wing, and again, Boom Goes the Dynamite.
And Boom Goes the Dynamite.
That's so good.
Those are two classics. I retweeted the Buffalo one, but yeah, if you have a chance and you can Google Boom Goes the Dynamite, it'll come up immediately.
But
with
why
this kid
do
Indian.
You think that you can sign off saying bye, bye, bye and not get made fun of? Like, why do you think that's going
to
happen?
That wasn't even the worst part. Like, that was supposed to be funny. The worst part is everything else.
How long was it, too?
That's a condensed version.
Yeah,
it was like
saying,
3 minutes.
The sports report every best, night on the news is 3 minutes.
The best thing would have been if they just went to commercial halfway through and just not even let him finish. Be like, and we're clear. He'd be like, and I just, what? We're clear.
You're killing ratings. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, dude, that was terrible. We saved you from yourself. You look like an idiot. You sound like an idiot.
Boy, he was sappy. And he looks like he shouldn't even be married, let alone have kids. He looks like he just interned
at ESPN. Yeah, he
looks
like he's 12. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I saw that. I was like, you've got to be kidding. And how long it was. I'm telling you, the normal sports report's like 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. This dude went on forever. By the way, they got Lainey Fritz the way you were talking about on Saturday night. I was watching sports on KPRC, and they were doing Texans report and Hall of Fame report, and mid-sentence she went to go to Astros and they went to commercial. They never came back. They came back with the open to Saturday Night Live. I was like, well, that didn't end well.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, Lisa being a teacher, she goes, where's the producer in her ear saying, you got to wrap this up quick. We got to get out. We've got, you know, we've got to stay on schedule. But no one must have said a word to her. And she was like, and now for the act. And it got cut off and went to a commercial. I'm like, oh, they'll come back and they'll clear that up. No, they came back with the open of Saturday Night Live. That sucks.
That is good.
You're starting to see a lot of that on TV, though, man. There's a lot of mistakes on TV, like live TV. There's like,
I never trust anyone in TV.
Well, you know the other thing? I get it. I don't either half the time. But but the other thing is,
he says before 3 o'clock.
That's right. Automated. Because all the commercials now are automated. And you know, normally there used to be someone in the control room firing off when the commercials start.
I didn't even know that.
Like, you know, like basically, you know, as part of what you do when you fire off the commercials. In TV, there's someone in the control room doing that. Now it's all done by computers based on times. And whether you're out or not at the appropriate time, they're going to that first commercial because that's their money.
Yeah. They don't mess around. Not like here where we shatter breaks every moment possible. You don't mess around on TV. It's a lot tighter schedule. Somebody texted and said, my son is a sergeant in the Marine Corps. He went through basic in 2006. He told me Full Metal Jacket was exactly what he experienced. I can't imagine that.
We've had a couple people say that.
Yeah, I'm not tough enough. Okay, Nick has to play Sum Ting Wong, We Too Low. Do you know what that is? No. Oh!
I'll play it, though.
Okay, we're going to Google that. You're going to have to find the Something Wrong Way Too Low. That's just the best. It's absolutely the best. What is this?
Janet Jackson. Rhythm Nation.
You were doing so good.
Dude, I'm a fan of Janet Jackson. I told you one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen was the final night of the tour in the Woodlands. The Velvet Rope Tour.
Was there a lot of dancing?
I mean, there was a huge stage presence as well, but she ran the game. She did two back-to-back, two straight nights, and did every one of her hits, every one of her popular songs. Didn't matter what album. She went for like 3 hours each night.
We've done the Something Wrong on the show, by the way.
Have we?
Yeah. I just forgot that it was called Something Wrong.
Oh. Well, I know we read
We played the audio.
Oh, you did find the audio? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, then there you go. You're not getting that again. Oh, you
No,
might.
We can if you want.
It's too late now. You've killed the vibe, Nick.
All right.
Hope you're happy.
Sorry, OU Mike.
Yeah. You've stomped on it, much like Joel with the fight thing.
When
just
is the last time
it.
Anybody on this show said what Nick said?
What?
Sorry, OU Mike.
Never.
Never.
Oh, never going to happen again.
Yeah,
you take that back right now.
Take that apology back. I don't know
second
why
dumbest thing you said today.
That was the second. That
Teenage
was the
Mutant
dumbest
Ninja
thing
Turtles and Sorry, OU Mike.
Look
you
it
take,
up.
You take both of those
Look
back.
It up.
Were they 90s?
No, but I'm just saying they were bigger than Star Wars. That's what I was
okay.
saying.
Okay. Well, that's neither here nor there.
1990, 1989.
Two different decades.
They were probably, I'll record, let you they were continue, probably recording. They were probably recording in 1989.
Dumbass. All right.
Unless you're doing math with Barry's finger.
Yeah, that's that's one and a half right there. All right, guys, I am excited to tell you about a great new way to save money on your electricity bill, and it's through a company called Energy Ogre. Now, Energy Ogre is not an electric company. Let's get that away. They are a technology company. And what they do is they actively monitor thousands of offers on the market to find you the best rate based on how you use electricity. It's super easy to sign up. You go to their website. While you're there, they have a free savings calculator that you can enter some information in to see how much you're going to save or how much you could save depending on which program they put you with. But it's so easy, man. Once you sign up, that's it. You're done. Energy Ogre takes care of everything else. They manage the contract process. They manage the renewal process. So each time your contract is up, if you need to switch because that's where the lower rate is, they take care of everything. And they keep you in the loop while you're doing it. You get emails that let you know where they're at. They let you know if you have any problems to get with them, and they'll take care of it. I'm telling you, it couldn't be easier to save money on your electricity with Energy Ogre. Most of their members save between 40 and 60% each month on their bill. Last year alone, they saved their members $21 million, and I can attest to that because they saved me over $425, and that's after I pay that low $10 monthly fee for their services. And I'll give you some examples of my energy bill since I signed up for them. I've been with them since January. In January, for example, my bill last year was $160. This year, $68. In March, I had a $108 electric bill last year. This year, $61. My June bill last year, my July bill, $221. This year, $109. I saved $112 in 1 month by switching and using Energy Ogre and letting them find me the cheapest electricity. I don't know why you wouldn't do it. There's no hidden chargers, no hassles, no catch, satisfaction guarantee. You can cancel it at any time. So there's no reason why you shouldn't go and sign up right now. And in here, I'm going to save you $10 more. Go to energyogre.com, sign up, and use promo code Barry, and you'll get your 13th month free. That's energyogre.com, promo code Barry.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects till 4, ESPN 97.5. Breaking news of the day. Will Fuller breaks his collarbone. So it's not 30-minute late breaking news. It's breaking because his collarbone broke. Fuller out 2 to 3 months for your Houston Texans. Remains to be seen what they do next. Dallas Keuchel on the hill tonight for the Stros after some pretty firm comments about the trade deadline the day before. Other than that, What do you got? Anything else, breaking news, that we need to update the listeners on?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you what, we both agreed, by the way. The catch in the Red Sox-Indians game last night.
Yeah.
Definitely the best of the year. Maybe one of the best you'll see.
It was pretty damn good. If you
it
haven't,
was amazing.
If you haven't seen it, you need to go check it out. I tweeted it.
I did as well.
Yeah. Go take a look, man. It's pretty damn good. What's the kid's name that made the catch? I forget.
The kid for the Indians, their center fielder, Jackson? Is that right?
I'd have to go look. I forget.
I'll look it up as well. But you know how they have that short fence in right field in Fenway, and the ability to not be fazed by the wall, keep his eye on the wall, jump up, and catch the railing of the wall, probably about at the knee. Catch the ball, which was well into the bullpen or heading into where he made the catch. Flip over the wall,
yep.
Hang onto the ball, and then land safely was amazing.
Flip, yeah, the flip was crazy. I would have dropped it right then.
And he kept one hand on the wall to yeah, kind of somewhat brace himself.
Yep.
But it was amazing.
Pretty damn good.
So other than that,
now what's this audio that we have of the 3-on-3 thing? Was it 3-on-3?
It's
was
fantastic.
It the big three? What the hell is it?
So it's the big three.
Basically, okay. Steven Jackson is upset for getting benched by Charles Oakley.
Charles Oakley's the coach.
Okay.
Steven Jackson.
That's where I was confused. I was like, Charles Oakley's playing?
So Oak is coaching.
Okay.
Steven Jackson, the one-time Spur, now broadcaster on ESPN2, is playing and is playing fairly well. But thinks he gets fouled and decides to complain about to the referees, so Oak takes him out of the game, and the exchange is all world.
You took me out because he fouled me.
Okay, you know why? Because you keep arguing.
Don't take me out. We don't win. We ain't going to win.
We can win.
Not about my idea.
Really?
Yes.
That's the problem.
All right, well,
hey, Jack, you're straight.
That's a goddamn foul. I don't give a damn.
Jack,
you
let it go,
I ain't letting nothing go.
Well, you ain't out there. You gotta let it go.
I'm finna go check myself in a minute.
You will run through me then.
All right, well, that's what it's gonna be. that's what it's gonna be.
I
wanna
see this.
All right, you forgot where you was.
Hey, myself, man. All right. I'm like the American Airlines. I travel.
All right, me too. Me too. He said he missed the call.
Okay, but you arguing the whole time though. Y'all f***ing sensitive. I'm telling you what you're doing wrong. You don't listen. I don't say you walk. You play 15 years. You know you can't move. Y'all's always gonna run to the big man. If you don't move. No. I'm a coach. I can tell them he's doing. If I can't tell him he's doing wrong, he's just a coach. I went through it.
He's probably the only person besides Greg Popovich and Don Nelson that I respect and I listen to. You know, it's other coaches I respect, but when Oak talks, I listen. He's like a big brother slash uncle. He's somebody I respect. When we go back and forth in the game, he's trying to get the best out of me. I never disrespect Oak. He's somebody I love to death, and I got the ultimate respect for.
It was classic.
I'm like American Airlines, I travel. That's hilarious.
Yep.
I like that he's like, I'm going to check myself back in the game. And he goes, you're going to have to go through me? Oak was not having it. Both of those dudes are known to be pretty tough. I wouldn't mess with either of them.
Especially, I mean, look, Oakley with his size, too. I mean, yeah, Steven Jackson ran his mouth and wasn't afraid of anybody, but no one wants to mess with Charles Oakley. I think back in the day, the bench press champion was Oakley over Kevin Willis, and they were both between 450 and 500 pounds on the bench. Now, Kevin Willis had the arms of a dinosaur, so
it's like, you know, 5% body fat or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
but he only had, you know, his arms were so short that he only had to get it off his chest about 4 or 5 inches. But like, Oak is just, and he's like, you got to go through me if you're going to go check in.
He's not playing, man.
I don't think you want to go through Charles Oakley.
I actually thought he was. Like, he kind of pulled back at the end there. Like, he was just like, all right, you know, you're so sensitive. You know, I'm trying to coach you here. Yeah, and there might have been a missed call with the foul, but, you know, I'm taking you out. Stop bitching for a while.
Yep.
You know?
He said, I'm telling you what you're doing. You're wrong, and you're not listening. I don't understand you guys. Guard's always going to run to the big man if you don't move. And then basically use the line. I'm like, American Airlines, I travel. You can find me.
He ain't having it.
That was fantastic. Yeah. And other news out of the Big Three, by the way, Allen Iverson was suspended for one game for the conduct detrimental for whether he went to the casino or not in Chicago, but he missed a game in Dallas. And, oh, by the way, that one game suspension means he doesn't have to go to Kentucky.
Ooh, that's tough.
You don't miss Vegas. You don't miss Philly. You don't miss New York. But you miss Kentucky.
I find it hilarious that they're suspending these guys like they care.
Right. Yeah, I didn't. They take just listening to the Steven Jackson audio. I'm like, they're taking this seriously.
They're ultra. I mean, if you don't get to that level in the NBA, if you're not super competitive, right? Like, you have to be ultra competitive to be in the NBA.
When I first heard this league, and I probably just missed this, I'm thinking like they're going in not like an entertainment game, kind of like how they do in the All-Star game. But, like, nobody was taking it seriously, but I was completely wrong. Like,
I'm with you.
All of them are taking it seriously.
I thought entertainers were going to play as well. I thought it was going to be like the celebrity game at the All-Star game. I thought people are going to be more focused on not getting hurt and just...
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But, man, it's all
But people
players.
Are blowing out knees. They're out for, like, 6 months.
You got guys that want one more shot in the NBA that are thinking that if they play well in this thing, that they're going to get noticed.
It doesn't mean anything.
Who's thinking they're going to get noticed in this?
The former U of H kid, Andre Owens.
Really?
They said that he's been playing overseas, and he hopes that someone will see him and give him one more look. Mike James is 59 years old. He still thinks he's going to get one more look. But at the same time, when you look at his career, he played into his 40s. The Rockets gave him several contracts.
I went to high school with his wife.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But Mike James was an offensive machine.
Yeah, he was. He was indeed.
He could fill it up. So
someone in Beaumont really hates Allen Iverson.
Okay.
Just going off on the text line.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Wow. All right.
Oh, I just looked up his wife. I hadn't seen her in forever.
She's a pretty lady. And Mike's a really good dude.
She was really pretty in high school. Super pretty. Super nice, too.
I think Mike Sweet girl. Bought... Don't let me misspeak, but I think he bought like Robert Ory's old house.
Did he?
Over there, over towards the Beltway in West Hart, but it's huge.
Oh, wow. Does that surprise you?
No, but I'm saying he's been a Houstonian for a lot of years. Yep. He's lived in the city in the offseason.
Yep.
Very cool. All right, Big Three talk out of the way. We got an hour left to go in the big show. If you want to talk about something, please hit us up, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line where you can call or you can text or you can hit us on Twitter at BarryIsFunny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.